Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts this morning comes from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 11 to 19 as follows. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, do you know anybody with a terminal illness? Someone whom the doctors have given a limited amount of time to live. It happens, doesn't it? I've known many. Usually, you're not allowed into... someone who's terminally ill, they'll get them into a place like the hospice. You ever heard of that organization? Wonderful, wonderful organization. They take care of patients' every need. But to get in there, you have to have a doctor's permission. Because the doctor has to be of the belief that you've probably got 6 weeks or less to live, terminally ill. In our text for today, there were some men who had a terminal illness called leprosy. It's not terminal today, there's a cure for it today, but it was at Jesus' time. And we should know that in other places in Scripture, the Bible compares this disease, a horrible disease, leprosy. It affected the skin. You'd get these lacerations. And what it does is it damages the nerve endings, which especially affects the your extremities like fingers and toes. Especially affects the nasal area, the throat. And it can lead to death eventually, but it's a slow death and unpleasant. It's a kind of a in-your-face disease because it's very visible and awful to deal with. The Bible compares leprosy to sin. The definition of sin is breaking God's will. Breaking God's will is something that all of us are infected with. In fact, ever since the fall into sin in the Garden of Eden, when Eve took a bite of that fruit that she wasn't supposed to eat because God had warned her, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Ever since then, all human beings have been terminally ill. Terminally ill in all respects, spiritual, temporal, and eternal. All leading to separation from God, death, because of sin. So you see, really, sin infects us all. We're all born with it. We all have it going on this past week. We'll be involved with it this coming week. It's an awful thing, this disease called sin, breaking God's will. But there's a cure for it. And in our text for today, we have a wonderful account of a miracle that Jesus performed. But it also reminds us of the miracle that he's already accomplished in us. The cure for our sin. So our theme today is the cure for your terminal illness. Jesus' ears are always open to your cries. Jesus' hands are always powerful to help you. And therefore Jesus' acts deserve your gratitude. Jesus' ears are always open to your cries. It's true, isn't it? Whenever you pray, whenever you ask the Lord, that doesn't fall on deaf ears. God answers prayer. He always hears you. You're always in constant communion with God as his dear child. It's one of the blessings of being a believer. And God always hears our prayers. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, as our verses open up here. You know why he was going to Jerusalem? He was going there to be the cure for our terminal illness called sin. He was going to Jerusalem knowing full well what was going to happen there. He'd already told his disciples, the Son of Man must be handed over to men, and they will crucify him, and he will be buried and rise again the third day. Jesus had explained the gospel message, the thing he would accomplish for the whole world as a free gift. He explained it plainly to them. And now he set his face towards Jerusalem, and there he is, on the way. On the way to Jerusalem, he's going on the between the border of Samaria and Galilee when he comes to a certain village, and there he is met by the 10 lepers. It's interesting that there were 10 lepers, not 12 or 9. Kind of a side note, the number 10 in the Bible is often a symbol of completeness. All 10 men had the disease of leprosy. And you know, ever since the fall into sin in the Garden of Eden, guess what? The complete human race, except for Jesus himself, the complete human race has been infected by the leprosy of sin. That's where that definition quits, though, because you could tell that these 10 men were believers. How can you tell? Because they lifted up their voices, which probably had to be an effort since they all had leprosy, and that's one of the areas that gets affected, your voice. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They know who Jesus is, but they don't make demands on him. "We know you can heal us, so heal us." That's not what they did. They said, "Have mercy on us. Take pity on us." They petitioned their master as those who know they're unworthy, but also as those who know that he is the master and he can do something about it if that's what he wants to do. That's what faith does. Faith looks to Jesus. Faith believes in what he can do. Isn't that how your faith works too? That gift that God gave you, like an extra hand that's on your heart. So when the promises of the Bible come by, your faith grasps it, believes it. When God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you," your faith believes that. God will deliver us. When the Bible says, "All things work together for good to those who love God," it's very easy to say, Romans 8:28. But when you're going through the ringer, a specifically difficult suffering or trial in this life, sometimes it's hard to believe that, and left to ourselves we wouldn't be able to. But your faith believes that and knows that everything, even the tough things in life, will always work out for our spiritual good. Jesus' ears are always open to his children's cries for mercy, and he always answers. Jesus gave them an answer too, these 10 men who believed in him. He said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Pretty simple, isn't it? But you see, unlike many of the other miracles in the Bible, this was not an immediate one. You know, like when Jesus caused a deaf and dumb blind man to hear and to speak, or when he healed the blind and that one man, he made mud and put it on his eyes and they fell off like scales and all of a sudden he could see. It was immediate. No, he told these 10 lepers standing there with this horrible disease, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." That was the requirement. From the time of Moses, lepers weren't allowed. If you had leprosy, you couldn't stay with the rest of the normal people. You had to go off and be by yourself. You were considered unclean. And if you thought you were healed, well, there was one person who had to verify that, and that was the priest. So Jesus tells these men with this disease, "Go, show yourself to the priest." That took faith, because they still had the disease. It wasn't immediately evident that Jesus was healing them. So they went. And the text says, as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus sometimes tells us to just believe his word, to go. And then things happen. show yourself. It took faith to believe that. And as they went, they were cleansed. It takes faith for us, too, to follow God's commands. When Jesus speaks and gives us that command, it takes faith. We just, when all the rest of the world around us asks us why we do what we do as Christians, and, oh, why are you wasting your time? Our faith believes God's word. When the rest of the world says, oh, women should have a choice when it comes to abortion, our faith just believes God's word that says, that little unborn baby is a gift from God. It's got a soul, and that's murder. And so we speak up for that. But the rest of the world says, what? But it isn't ourselves convinced of that. You know, that's not an intellectual thing. That's our faith that believes that truth of God's word. Jesus' cure for our terminal illness of sin is that he always answers our cries for mercy. But it's also that he has great power to help. Taking verse 14 again. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. One thing we should remember is that Jesus takes notice of us. There's a verse in the Psalms, maybe you've heard it before, where it says, God thinks on me. Isn't that amazing? That in a world of how many billion people right now, we have God's attention. He thinks of you and me as individuals. When Jesus died on the cross, when his hands were nailed to that cross, he thought of you. Your name was on his heart as he paid the price for all of your sins. That's the power that our God gives to us. Jesus' hands are strong to help us, to remind us of the cure for the illness. He noticed these men too. He saw them. He took note of them. He saw their condition. He knew their outward disease was terrible and awful, and he knew that he could help them. And so he told them, go show yourselves to the priests. That powerful word was spoken. You know, all the text says is, and he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Reminds me of Genesis 1, and God said. I mean, it's the still small voice of God. It's not the great, huge effects and spectacular outward evidence that convinces us that Jesus is who he said he was, said he is, that he is the Son of God. It's not the spectacular occurrences in life or the experiences that are hallmark experiences in your life that convince you that Jesus is your Lord. It's his word. It's the still small voice. And that's why he told these men who believed in him, go. And go they did. They followed. They knew that he had power to help cure them of their disease. He tells us too, go. And we know that God has power to help us in the trials that we go through in this life, in the problems that we are incur in our lives because of sin, because of sin around us, because of the devil himself. God's there to help us and use his power to support us. It's a cure for us, isn't it? The terminal illness that we have. Jesus' acts deserve our gratitude. We're told that as they went, one of these men returned. He realized he was being healed, and he just couldn't go on. He had to come back. And now, with a healed voice, with a loud voice, he glorified and praised God for what was going on. He comes up to Jesus. He falls on his face. There isn't any kneeling here. This is a fall on your face kind of, oh, thank you, Lord. And Jesus recognizes his thankfulness as a proper thing to do for those who have been cured of an incurable or terminal illness. Haven't we been cured? Don't we even right now possess the cure of sins forgiven? That disease of that leprosy of sin has been wiped out and totally made clean and white. It's totally gone. because of what our Savior did for us on his cross. Doesn't God say to us, go, show yourselves. To who? Well, to God. You can go right now, stand in God's presence before the throne of grace, and know that you are completely clean and white and cured of any sin. There's no spot or blemish, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has washed you clean. Now you can show yourself to our great high priest, the Lord Almighty in heaven, and you can stand, because you're wearing the white robes of Christ's righteousness. You've been cured of that terminal illness called sin. This all comes to us through the spoken word, through the written word of God that is near and dear to our hearts and lives, truly our greatest treasure. Cure for that terminal illness then works something in you and in me and in every believer everywhere. It works in gratitude. A gratitude that says, well, what can I do for God now? The answer is, guess what? It's all done. You can't do anything or contribute anything towards your salvation. But that doesn't mean you don't recognize that you've been given the greatest cure of the worst disease of all time, that it's yours right now. And how can you help but not have gratitude, but not return to thank and praise your God for everything he has done for you? It's just a natural reaction. Oh, sure, we have to teach our children, don't we? Remember to say thank you. And we too are still in our sinful flesh, so we have to fight that sinful side of us that doesn't want to acknowledge God, let alone give thanks to him. But we can do it, knowing what God has done for us. We can return and give thanks to God regularly. How? Well, just by hearing his word. Come here. Listen to that word. Hear the gospel message proclaimed. Take that word home with you. Pour over it in your hearts and minds all week. Be assured of the forgiveness of sins that is yours, of that cure for that terminal illness. You've been given it. And you too will be just like that one who returned out of the 10. Jesus wasn't happy with those other 9. Where are the other 9? He asked. Were there not any found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? Do you realize the comfort in that word? Aren't we foreigners? Sure we are. I'm not a Jew. And Jesus was sent to the Jews, to the children of Israel. I'm a foreigner. But the father of all the Jews, Abraham, was told that in you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All the foreigners, even you, and even me, and this Samaritan. And Jesus was well pleased with him. He said, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Jesus says that to us too. Arise, go your way. Your faith, that gift that he gave you like a hand, has made you well. And not just well of outward disease. That man was so happy he got rid of that physical disease. But more than that, he knew too that this was his Savior who has taken away the terminal illness that affects all mankind. He took away his sin. Your faith has made you well. It made him well physically, but more importantly, spiritually. Today you too can say the same thing. Today you too can arise, go on your way, head out to your work week, to whatever's ahead in the next month. Your faith has saved you. It has made you well. Amen.